Chapter 4. In 1940, Raymond's mother had divorced his father, a somewhat older man, while she was 6 months pregnant with a second child, to marry Raymond's father's law partner, John Yerkes Iselin, who had a raucous laugh and a fleshy nose. There was more than the usual talk in their community that loud, lewd Johnny Iselin was the father of the unborn child. Raymond had been 12 years old at the time of his mother's remarriage. He hadn't particularly liked his father, but he disliked his mother so much more that he felt the loss keenly. In later years, the second son, Raymond's brother, could have been said to have favored noisy Johnny more than did the dour and silent Raymond, as he had many of the identical interests in making sounds for the sake of making sounds, and also the early suggestion of a nose that promised to be equally fleshy. But Raymond's brother died in 1948, greatly helping John Iselin's bid for the governorship by interjecting that element of human sympathy into the campaign. The unquestionable fact was that Eleanor Shaw's marriage to John Iselin was a scandal, and the questions that aroused curiosity must have been an insufferable torment in the mind of young Raymond, as his awakening consciousness absorbed the details which kept filtering fresh drops of bitterness into his memory. Raymond's father had paused with his grief for 6 years before killing himself. At this disposition, Raymond, if no one else, was inconsolable. In the driving rain, in the presence of so few witnesses, most of whom having been rented through the funeral director, he made a graveside oration. As he spoke, he looked only at his mother. He told in a high-pitched, tight voice of what an incomparably noble man his father had been. Another boyish balderdash like that. To Raymond, from that day in 1940, when he had seen his father's tears, his mother would always be a morally adulterous woman who had deserted her home and had brought sadness upon her husband's venerable head. Iselin, the stepfather, was doubly hateful, because he had offended, humiliated, and betrayed a noble man by robbing him of his wife, and because he seemed to make noises with every movement in every part of his body, forsaking silence, awake and asleep, belching, bawling, braying, blaspheming, snoring or shouting, talking, always, always, never stopping, talking. Raymond's father and Johnny Iselin had been law partners until 1935, when Johnny had switched his party affiliations to run for judge of the three-county 13th Judicial District. The announcement of his candidacy had come as a staggering blow to his partner and benefactor, who had had his heart set for some time on running for the circuit judgeship in that district. So words were exchanged, and the partnership was dissolved. Johnny had noise and muscle on his side in anything he ever decided to do. He won the election. He served for 4 years before the state Supreme Court rebuked him for improper conduct on the bench. Judge Iselin had found it necessary to order the destruction of a portion of the record, and had in general created a highly improper and regrettable state of affairs. But simultaneously, he had earned himself a nice $3,500 off-bench fee. Johnny always kept his gift for merchandising justice. Just about 10 months after the exhibitionistic politicking by the state Supreme Court against him, he began to grant quickie divorces to couples not resident in his judicial district. Later, records indicated that in several of these cases, one of the principals, or their attorneys, or both, were active in supporting Johnny's political pretensions, sometimes with cash. His practice of favoring the generous gave at least one editorial writer his morning angle, when the Journal, the state's largest daily, wrote, "Is state justice to be used to accommodate the political supporters of the presiding judge? Are our courts to become the place in which to settle political debts?" By this time, Raymond's mother had seen her duty and had taken to lolling around on a bed with Johnny in a rented-by-the-hour or afternoon summer home near a gas station off a secondary highway. When she finished reading that editorial aloud to Johnny, she snorted and described the editorial writer, whom she had never met, as a jerk.
"You are so right, baby," Johnny had answered.
The most famous case Judge Iselin ever disposed of on the circuit bench was reflected in the consequences of his granting a divorce in the case of Raymond's mother versus Raymond's father. The newspapers paid out the juicy facts that Mr. Shaw had been Judge Iselin's law partner. Second, they announced that Mrs. Shaw was 6 months pregnant and ran a front-page picture that made her look as though she had strapped a 21-inch television set to her middle. Thirdly, the readers were told that Mrs. Shaw and Judge Iselin would become man and wife
as soon as the divorce became final. Raymond's mother had been 29 years old at the time. Judge Iselin was 32. Raymond's father was 48. Mr. Shaw had married Raymond's mother when she was 16 years old, after two ecstatic frictions on an automobile seat. Raymond had been born when she had just reached 17. During the 13 years of her marriage to Raymond's father, she had been a member or officer or founder or affiliate of organizations including the St. Agnes Music Club, the Parent Teachers Association, the Association of Inner Wheel Clubs, the Honest Ballot Association, the International Committee for Silent Games, the Auxiliary Society of the Professional Men's League, the Third Way Movement, the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, the Permanent International Committee of Underground Town Planning, the Good Citizens Shield, the Joint Distribution Committee for Anti-Fascist Spain, the Scrap Metal Users Joint Bureau, the International Symposium on Passivity, the American Friends of the Soviet Union, the Ladies Auxiliary of the American Legion, the Independent Order, the English-speaking Union, the International Congress for Surface Activity, the Daughters of the American Revolution, the International Union for the Protection of Public Morality, the Society for the Abolition of Blasphemy Laws, the Community Chest, the Audubon League, the League of Professional Women, the American Scandinavian Association, the Dame Maria Van Slyck Association for the Abolition of Canonization, the Eastern Star, the Abraham Lincoln Brigade Memorial Fund, and others. Raymond's mother had, quite early in life, achieved an almost abnormal concentration upon an interest in local, state, and national politics. She used all organizations to claw out recognition for herself within her chosen community. Her ambition was an extremely distressing condition. She sought power, the way a superstitious man might look for a four-leaf clover. She didn't care where she found it. It would make no difference if it were growing out of a manure pile. The newspapers knew the three sets of facts about Raymond's mother's divorce because Raymond's mother, always keeping an eye upon a public future, had made sure that they were told about it in a series of letters which she had typed without signature and mailed herself the day before the divorce action had reached Judge Iselin's court. She had explained to Johnny why she was going to do it before she did it. She made it clear that the entire thing would serve to humanize him like nothing else could later on. "Every one of the jerks lives in the middle of one continuous jam," she had explained sympathetically, the jerks being the great American people in this instance. "Isn't it better if they think you got me this way than if they get the idea the baby is his and I walked out on him for you? You see what I mean, Johnny? We'd be taking his own child away from him, which is a very precious possession, as the jerks pretend about kids while they knock them out like hot cross buns, then abandon them or ignore them. And we'll get married right away, at the split second that it becomes legal under the great American flag, see, lover? We'll be as respectable as anybody else right at that instant, except just like everybody else, underneath. You know what I mean, lover? They're all tramps in their hearts, and we'll want them to identify with us when the time comes to line up at the polls. Right, sweetheart?" Raymond's mother had not been unfaithful to his father until he had forced her into it. She had used exactly the same political blandishments on him first that she had had to use on Johnny later, and long before she had exposed either them or her body to John Iselin, which is to say that Raymond's father could have become just as big a man in the United States and the world as she eventually made Johnny, a fact that Raymond never realized in his harsh evaluation of his mother. After she had finished detailing her political plan to Raymond's father, instead of striking her, the man had actually tried to instill into her a devotion to the ancient ideals of justice, liberty, fair play, and the republic, until she had at last needed to cuckold him to be rid of him. Later on, she had explained the whole thing to Johnny as though the entire sordid mess had come about as the result of her shrewd design.